All right, friends. Well, I am so glad to be with you today. How's everybody doing? Oh, that was not so good. Let me try that again. At the pub, I have high expectations of really energetic feelings, okay? So how's everybody doing? Woo! All right. Well, my name is Gretchen Williams, as Jeremy said, and I am on staff here at Sycamore Creek, and I'm privileged to be a part of the teaching team. And I'm excited to be with you as we continue this series called Contagious Life. But I wanted to share with you a little bit about Pastor Tom and what's going on with him. So he was going to be with us today. He has returned from his sabbatical just this past Monday. We've gotten to see him and have meetings with him. But you may have seen an email this week or may have heard on Facebook that this week Pastor Tom's dad passed away. Now, this wasn't completely unknown that this might happen. His dad has been suffering from Lewy body dementia, but at the same time, it was sudden. It wasn't expected to happen at this moment. So Tom and Sarah and the boys have traveled to Indianapolis, and they're in Indianapolis with Tom's family this weekend, and they are celebrating his dad's life as well as mourning the loss of him. And so I wanted you all to know that that's where he is at today. And I wanted to take a moment as a family of God to just pray over Tom and his family. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you so much for Pastor Tom and for Sarah, the boys, and the amazing things that they do here at Sycamore Creek and the way that they bless our lives. We pray that right now as they're in Indianapolis celebrating his dad's life and mourning the loss of him, that you would be with him and with Tom and his family, his brothers and sisters, and his extended family as they mourn that loss. I pray that you would give them opportunities to celebrate in the memories that they have of him, and that you would just let them all feel comforted by your loving hands. And I pray that as they have that time together, that they would sense your presence with them. And then, of course, bring Tom and Sarah and the boys home safely when they travel back to Michigan. I pray these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. So Tom wanted to be here today to share a little bit about his sabbatical, but actually what's going to happen is that next week after the second service, that Tom is going to hold a sabbatical town hall, and that will be an opportunity to not only celebrate Tom's return, but to hear a little bit about what he experienced and what he learned in his sabbatical. We'll hear about the way that he was able to be refreshed and renewed, as well as the way that God has given him a new vision for Sycamore Creek Church and helped him kind of look out into the future, that time that he's had to step back away from what we're doing and really renew himself. So I encourage you to be there for that. We're going to celebrate him. There's going to be cake, and that's going to be a great time to get to hear a little bit more about his sabbatical from him. So today, I get the privilege of continuing in this series called Hashtag Contagious Life. And I've loved this series because that is the way I hope that I'm living my life. I have a passion for life, and I get excited about things, and I tend to be kind of contagious. But you know what? When we hear the word contagious, we think of a bad thing, right? Like, this is flu season. I don't want you to be near me if you're contagious. Please don't sneeze in my face, right? Like, I don't want to get sick. Flu season is not my favorite. So we think of this word contagious in this bad way. But today we're talking about how, you know, there's a way in which we can experience Jesus and his love and our faith in such a way that it's so exciting and it builds up in us so much that it overflows and it's contagious to those around us. We want to live our lives in a contagious way so that people can't help but want to be a part of what we're a part of as the family of God. So I wanted to share with you what the word contagious means as we talk about this. And it means that it's spread from one person or organism to another by direct or indirect contact. And of course, like I said, we're not talking about like sickness or disease here. We're talking about living our lives in such a way that when we're around other people, we're so excited and so filled with joy and passion about Jesus and about our faith in Jesus that we're going to spread from one person to another with direct contact or indirect contact even, that joy that we have. It's likely to spread to and affect others. I hope that I'm living my life in such a way that my joy and love for Jesus is likely to spread to and affect others. And so that's what we've been talking about here today and this past month as we've been talking about living a contagious life. It's a life that's so enthusiastic and energetic and joy-filled that, gosh, people can't help but want to be a part of it. You know, sometimes we get excited about things, like we have like things in our lives that we're so excited about because, you know, it's funny, or like I get really passionate about entertainment. Like if I see a good movie, I'm going to tell everybody around me to go see it. And I promise I won't give any spoilers. I'm not going to ruin the ending, but I will tell you how good this movie was and how much you need to see it. And one of those things that I get super excited about is the show The Big Bang Theory. So I just think that that show is genius, no pun intended. Genius, I love it, because, you know, the guys in it are geniuses. And I think it's super funny. And when I first got into that show, I ran home and I was telling my parents about the show that I've been watching and how funny it was. And they were like, yeah, okay. Like, they just didn't seem to be into it. I was like, no, you guys don't understand. You need to watch it. So I happened to have a friend give me, like, the first two seasons on DVD. So I was like, okay, I've got the videos. Let's watch it. So we watched one episode. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, wasn't that funny? And they were like, it was okay. I was like, no, let's watch another one. It's really funny. It's so funny. So we watched the second one. And they were like, yeah, that was pretty funny. I was like, come on, you guys. It was more than just pretty funny. So I put on the third episode, and by the third episode, they were hooked. Like, from then on, they would watch it on live TV, and they'd call me and be like, oh my gosh, did you see that episode of Big Bang? And we'd, like, laugh about it. I love this show so much that I once had a party where I invited my friends over, and we had a Big Bang Theory marathon. Like, this is how much I love that show. I get so excited about things that I love that I can't help but share it. It's so exciting. It's contagious, right? So that's what we're talking about here. And you know, today my message is about being a contagious wayfinder, helping somebody find the way. When you think of wayfinder, finding your way, what do you think of? What? Moana. Moana. She has little kids, man. I'm with you on that one. We watch that movie like at least twice a week, yes. So Moana talks about finding her way. So I think about driving, right? When I'm driving, I need to find my way to where I'm going. That's so funny. That's going to stick in my brain now, Kristen. Thank you. So, yes, wayfinding. When you're driving, you have to find your way. So I don't know about any of the rest of you, but I'm terrible with directions. Am I the only one? Is anybody else here in the room terrible with directions? Raise your hand if you are. Okay, Jeremy's like this. Like, he's all in with that. I like that. So I'm horrible with directions. And there's this meme that's gone around on Facebook. I love memes because they give me a little chuckle, you know, and it brightens my mood during the day. And this one I post more because I'm like exactly like this person than because it's funny, because then I'm laughing at myself. So here's one that I just love. And it's these two girls in the car, and the one says, okay, when you get to Main Street, you're going to head north. And the other girl's like, north? And she says, yeah. And so she goes, well, oh, towards the pizza place. And the other goes, no, north. So she says, so turn left? And she says, no, go north. And then there's silence. And she says, you have no idea which direction is north, do you? And then the other girl goes, north, south, these words mean nothing to me, nothing. That is like me, all the way. Like, yes, yes. Don't tell me north or south. I don't know what that means. Tell me, like, turn left at Arby's, right? That's helpful information to me. Like, when I tell people how to get here, do you guys know what I say? I say it's right behind the marathon station. Because that's helpful information to me. So I'm just terrible with directions. I can totally relate to this. But when you're driving, signs are your wayfinders, right? So we need signs to help us find our way. If you tell me that I need to turn left at Anchor Cove, I get that. That makes sense. When I see this sign that says Anchor Cove, I'm going to turn left. Okay? I understand that. Don't say go south. That makes no sense to me. Really, it doesn't. Okay, this one's the worst. When you're on the freeway and you have to switch the interstate, and you have to choose whether you're going to go west or east. Oh, this is stressful for me. I get really uptight about that. And here's the worst thing. Usually when I think of 96 East, I think of Detroit, right? You're going to go towards Detroit. But this says you're going towards Lansing. Well, where am I? I don't know if I'm going towards Lansing or Grand Rapids. That's the thing that stresses me out. And you have to make a decision right away because you're going 70. You have to decide, which way am I going to go? North or south or east or west? I don't know. So these signs are supposed to be wayfinders, but I find them very stressful. Here's a sign that's actually really helpful. We have signs that tell us where not to go, right? Don't enter. Do not enter wrong way. I love this because there's like a bunch of them. Wrong way, wrong way. Do not enter wrong way. If you go this way, this is an exit. And that's going to be a problem if you try to go on it, right? You're going to have an issue. So we have signs that help us find our way. My favorite kind of sign is this. Kingston Avenue, next signal. Okay, thank you for that prep time, right? Now I know that that road coming up is Kingston Avenue. There's nothing worse than coming up to a road when you know you need to turn soon and you don't know what the road is. It's awful. I hate that. I'm also a terrible direction giver. So when I ride in the car with my husband and he doesn't know where we're going, I'm really bad about saying to turn left, like right when we get to the street. He gets super frustrated with me because then he's probably in the right lane and he's like, I can't turn left. You waited too long. So I'm also guilty of being a bad direction giver. But these kinds of signs are helpful because it gives you that prep time that you need to find your way. So once you get to where you're going, you need more signs, right? You might need a sign that tells you where to go in the building, like which door to enter. When somebody comes to our parking lot, they might not know which door to go in. So that we need signs that say, we have a new awning out there that says main entrance, so it's clear that that's where you should go. But here's what I look for when I get to a place that I'm gonna go. I look for this sign, right? Where is the bathroom? I wanna know where the bathroom is so that when I need the bathroom, I know where to go. This is something my mom taught me, you guys, is to always know where the bathroom is at any place that you go. Because there's nothing worse than needing to use the bathroom and you don't know where you're going. That's terrible. That's just rough. I don't like that at all. Here's the worst sign that you could have in your place of business. Sorry, no public restrooms. I might cry a little bit if this is the case. Especially when I was pregnant. If you don't have a public restroom, I might not be able to stay at your business. I'm sorry. Because I might need to use it, right? And then the even worse is to get to the bathroom and to see a sign like this. Restrooms temporarily closed for cleaning. Isn't that the worst? You're like standing outside the bathroom and you have to go potty and it's closed. And you're like, well, now what do I do? I guess I have to go next door to the other business because yours is temporarily closed for cleaning. Oh, so signs, right? We need these signs to be a wayfinder for us. And sometimes we use GPS, right? Google Maps. We use like our Siri on our phone and she says, in 500 feet, turn left, right? So we use all these things to help us find our way. But did you know that people can be wayfinders too? When I'm trying to get somewhere, somebody might give me directions and tell me how to get there. I often have people call the church office and ask me how to get to this building. So I have to be prepared to tell them how to get here. So people can be wayfinders too, and there's even jobs where people are wayfinders, like air traffic controllers. That person is somebody who's going to tell the pilot, this tarmac is clear, you can go over here. Or, you know, they're going to block off one section because that's not clear. They're not going to let you go that way. So there's a job where somebody's a wayfinder. Another job where there's a wayfinder is a crossing guard. I remember when I was in elementary school, my crossing guard's name was Mrs. Barry, and she had like super curly, dark, dark brown hair, and it was like really big. Like, I don't know how she got her hair that big. It was amazing. But Mrs. Barry was a wayfinder for us. She made sure that I went to school and didn't wander off going somewhere else. She helped us find our way to school. And so, just like Mrs. Barry was a wayfinder for me, each of us have the opportunity to be wayfinders for other people. And there's lots of ways in which we can do that, but today what I want to talk about is that we can be wayfinders for those around us who are seeking Jesus. And sometimes seeking Jesus can be the hardest journey of all, especially for those who don't realize that that's what they're looking for. I'm sure you've had an experience where you've talked to somebody and you can tell that they're seeking something, but they don't realize that what they're seeking is a relationship with God. And so we have an opportunity to be wayfinders for those around us, to help people find their way to Jesus. Now, it's not going to work like this. You're not going to grab your phone and call up a friend and say, "Hey, Joe, I want to meet you at Big B at 3 o'clock on Friday, and I'm going to lead you to Jesus." Like, that's not how it works. That'd be cool if it did, but it's not. Actually, Joe would probably hang up on you and be like, "You're crazy." No. So that's not how it works. But what might happen is that you show up and you're having coffee with your friend Joe and at Big B at 3 o'clock on Friday, and Joe is talking to you and you sense that he's doing some spiritual seeking. He's seeking some spiritual guidance. And that's when you are in the middle of an opportunity that God has provided you, an opportunity to help him find his way to Jesus. And it says in 1 Peter that we should always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Just like the Boy Scout motto, always be prepared. Now, have you ever been in the midst of a conversation with somebody and you kind of sense that they might be doing some seeking, some spiritual seeking, but you just don't know what to say? You're like, "Oh, I want to help them. I have no idea what to say right now." And sometimes we get a little bit hesitant about sharing our faith. You know, I find that to be like a really stressful situation, like trying to find my way on the freeway, because maybe they're going to reject me and my friendship. I hate conflict. Maybe it's going to start a fight. I don't want to start a fight with my friend. Or perhaps we're afraid we're going to offend them by trying to talk about our faith. So there's all kinds of reasons why we end up in those situations and we're hesitant about sharing our faith. But we're told in 1 Peter that we need to always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have. And so today I'm hoping that I'll be able to help you with that a little bit. And I wanted to talk about the fact that our brains are kind of amazing. I have the ability to remember just a ridiculous amount of things, usually information that I don't need, sometimes good information. Like, I can remember phone numbers and addresses and people's birthdays and just all kinds of crazy things. But one of the things I remember a lot is like lyrics to songs. It can be a song I haven't heard in years and I can still remember the lyrics. Or I can remember the lines in a TV show. So one of my other favorite TV shows is How I Met Your Mother. And I've seen the show so many times that I could probably tell you what episode was on the TV when I was working on this message and like what scene it was, and I could probably quote all the lines. It's crazy, because my husband and I love that show. We watch it together a lot. If we want background noise while we're doing something, we'll put that show on, because it's not like we're going to miss anything if we're not paying attention, because we've seen it so many times. So our brains can remember just a crazy amount of things. For example, if I said to you, "Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall." We remember that because we've heard those nursery rhymes so many times in our lives that we can easily remember that. So I wanted to show you just how amazing our brains are, and I want to ask you a couple questions. And so when I give the opportunity to answer, I want you to answer right away the first thing that comes to mind, okay? So the first question is, Timmy's mother had three sons. Their names were Snap, Crackle, and... All right, now I'm going to do a math question with you. I'm going to go a little bit fast, so track with me here, okay? I want you to start with 1,000, add 40, then add another 1,000, now add 30, add another 1,000, add 20, add another 1,000, and add 10. What do you got? Okay, 5,000. So now I'm going to go back, and I'm going to tell you the answers to the questions. The first one was, Timmy's mother had three sons. Their names were Snap, Crackle, and you all said Pop. But I said Timmy's mother. Oh, see, I tricked you. Because we've all heard Snap, Crackle, and Pop, like the Rice Krispies characters. So we all thought Snap, Crackle, and Pop. But I said Timmy's mother, so it's actually Snap, Crackle, and Timmy. So with the math problem, you all said 5,000, right? Well, actually, the answer is 4,100. Because I tricked your brain because I kept saying those 1,000s. But it was 4 1,000s, and then it was 40, 30, 20, 10. So your brain gets so focused on that 1,000 number. Actually, when I heard this through the first time, I said 6,000 because I thought he said more thousands than he did. So I was tricked by this one too. But isn't that interesting how our brains work? Like we really focus in on a certain aspect of what we're hearing. And we can really remember some interesting things like that Humpty Dumpty. We all remember that. So I want to point out how cool our brains are, because I want to give you some tools that you can use, that you can memorize and remember when you find yourself in a situation where somebody is doing some spiritual seeking, that you can say, ah, I know what to say now. I don't have to be hesitant because I know what to say. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a couple of questions, and then I'm going to give you three scriptures that you can memorize to use in just these kinds of situations. Now, before I do so, I want you to know that what I'm going to share with you today is a guide. And obviously, we all have our own way of saying things. So I don't want you to take this and say, I have to say it exactly the way Gretchen said, and I have to remember it perfectly, because we're all going to use our own words to describe it. You know, I'm not going to say it the same way that Nancy would, or the same way that Kristen would, or the same way that Rick would. So I want you to understand that this is a guide, and I want you to use it in a way that works best for you. And when you do that, you know, this is going to make things go naturally. You know, you're not, like I said, you're not going to call them up and say, I'm going to meet you at 3:00 at Big B on Friday, and I'm going to lead you to Jesus. That's not making it happen naturally. That's forcing it. But this might come up naturally with somebody, and you just can tell they're spiritually seeking something. And so that's when these questions and this guide is going to come into play. So the first question that I want you to think about and to try to remember is, has anyone ever shared with you how to become a Christian? Now, I love that question because it really keeps things open for lots of different kinds of conversations to happen. Like perhaps the person that you're talking to says, yeah, somebody has, and I am a Christian. Maybe you didn't know that, so it opens up an opportunity. Like, that's really cool. Can you tell me more about that? I'd like to get to know you better. And so it opens an opportunity for conversation to hear about their experience becoming a Christian. Maybe actually what happens, though, is that they say yes, and it was the worst experience of my life. So there opens up an opportunity as well. You can be like, man, I'm really sorry to hear that. Can you explain more about that? Why was that such a bad experience? And perhaps in that moment where you're getting to know that person, it provides you an opportunity to redeem that experience for them. Like, man, I'm really sorry that that happened to you. Tell me more about that. And you can kind of learn why it was a bad experience and help them with it. But the other answer that you might receive is no. Nobody's ever shared that with me before. And if that is the case, if the person says no, then you can say, could I share three scriptures from the Bible that might help you? So that's where these three scriptures that I'm going to share with you is going to come into play. If they say, yeah, I want to hear these three scriptures, then you're going to share them with them. And the first one is from Romans 3:23, and it says, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Now, it's a very strong possibility that you may be talking to somebody who, like, knows nothing about the Bible, has never heard a Bible verse in their life, and so you're probably going to want to do some explanation here. Like, I don't know about you, but hearing somebody say, everyone has sinned, that can feel kind of harsh. Like, I'm a sinner? I think I live a pretty good life. What are you saying about me, right? So that's why I want to tell you about that word sin. And in the original Greek, the word sin is hamartano. And hamartano means to miss the mark. Well, I think I've probably missed the mark. That doesn't seem so harsh to me, right? Like, we've probably all missed the mark. When I'm giving directions to my husband, I very often don't tell him where to turn in time. So I've missed the mark at least several times in giving directions, and I know I've missed the mark in other places. So what that scripture is saying is everyone has missed the mark. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. So yeah, I think that that's something that I can relate to, that maybe saying has sinned might feel a little bit harsh, but I probably could agree that I've missed the mark. So that first scripture, Romans 3:23, I want you to remember that one. The second scripture I want you to remember is Romans 6:23. And this one says, "For the wages of sin, or the wages of missing the mark, is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." So there's some more words in there where we might be a little bit confused. When we think of the word wages, what do you think of? Money, like a paycheck. So you're like, when I think of wages, I think of like compensation for the work that I do. So when I read this scripture, what I would like you to think of rather than the word wages is penalty. So the penalty of sin, or the penalty of missing the mark, is death. That's a little less confusing. The penalty of missing the mark is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, when we hear eternal life, we can often feel like it's saying that sometime in the future, when we die, then we'll have eternal life with Jesus in heaven. So it feels like this kind of distant thing. Like, why do I need to worry about that now? I'm not going to die anytime soon, I hope, right? But actually, the word eternal is sometimes translated as abundant. And that feels like something that I can experience right now. That the wages or the penalty of missing the mark is death, but God is offering me this gift of abundant life, something that I can have right now, abundant life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so just by having this relationship with God, I can experience this abundant life. And that's a really key part of this to help somebody understand. When we talk about things that we're doing here at Sycamore Creek, we often talk about the benefits. What are you going to get from it? So, you know, we talked about Pumpkin Palooza, and there's all these fun things that are going to happen. Like, there's going to be a bounce house and all these things. Well, when you're talking about this relationship with God, it's important that somebody understands that it's not some check mark on your, like, pages of life. Like, check it, okay, I became a Christian, and someday when I die, I'll have eternal life with God. No. This is something that you get to experience right now. Abundant life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's super important to remember, that we, because of God, we get the opportunity to experience abundant life right now. So the first two verses are Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. The last verse I want you to remember is Romans 10:9. And Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So in this verse, we've got something happening inside and something happening outside. So inside, it's that we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead as an alternative to the penalty of missing the mark. And then we don't just keep that on the inside. We say it on the outside. We declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe, you say it out loud, I believe that Jesus died for my sins and he was raised from the dead so that I would not experience the penalty of missing the mark. So there's that internal and external. And that leads us to the last question that I want to give to you today. That's a great opportunity for you to say to somebody, would you like to pray right now? Don't just talk about praying, you know, believing internally and saying it out loud. Give them an opportunity to pray right now. Now, they may have never prayed before. They may not even know what that means. And so this is another teaching opportunity where you can say, you know, praying is just simply having a conversation with God. And sometimes we get hung up on the words of prayer. Christians do it, non-Christians do it. We think like we have to say something super fancy or use lots of words. Like if we say something more holy and righteous than anybody else, then God will hear us more than anybody else. But that's not the case at all. It says in Matthew, "When you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him." So you don't have to say fancy words. You don't, God doesn't hear you more because you say 200 words instead of 50. You know, you just have to say what you're thinking and what you're feeling. Say what's in your heart. Have a conversation with God. Hey, God, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And I believe that I deserve a penalty of death. But I want to have a relationship with you so I can have abundant life right now. So that's all that that prayer is. It doesn't have to be something fancy. But what we're asked of in Romans is to believe it in our hearts and to say it out loud. So internal and external. Now, I've given you these tools, these questions, and these scriptures, but there's something overarching here that I think is really important that we remember to fully understand and grasp how truly important this conversation is that you might have with somebody. And that is what Luke tells us in his gospel. He says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. I love this verse because do you know what that means? It means that when somebody becomes a Christian, in heaven, there's a party. Okay, cut. You guys, I got goosebumps. I want to do it again, okay? I'm going to take a video. Okay, so in heaven, when somebody becomes a Christian, there's a party. All right, cut. Thank you. So that's what it sounds like in heaven. When somebody becomes a Christian, they get so excited about that one person who becomes a Christian, who turns away from their missing the mark and turns towards God. And wouldn't that be an amazing thing to be a part of? I want to be a part of that. You know, in this scripture, it says the word repent, and there's another word that, like, sometimes we get hung up on and we don't fully understand. And all that repent means is that you turn away from that old life, you turn away from missing the mark, and you turn towards God. So you say, yep, I missed the mark. And God, I need your help. I want to have a relationship with you. So that's all that means, is turning away from God, from our missing the mark and turning towards God. And God wants a relationship with all of his people. He wants a relationship with everyone. So that's why when somebody becomes a Christian, heaven pulls out all the stops. They have a party because God wants to have a relationship with all of his people. Now, there's something really important that I want you to keep in mind here. We're not giving somebody a magic pill, right? We talked earlier, like, this is not checking off a box on your book of life. Cool, I'm a Christian now, I'm good until the day I die. This is not a magic pill. This is the beginning of a relationship. You know, sometimes we think of it as the end of something, but it's not just the end of missing the mark, because we're still going to miss the mark, right? But it's the beginning of a relationship with God. So relationships are not a static thing. Like, if I'm going to hang out with Jeremy and be friends with him, I can't just never speak to him and ignore him when he walks into the office and not say anything to him. He's going to be like, Gretchen's kind of a jerk, right? We're not going to have a friendship. That's not how friendship works. Relationships take work. They take getting to know the other person. And getting to know them not just when it's convenient or not just like when I need a ride. Like, hey, dude, I want to go to the movies. You want to pick me up? Because I need a ride. No, relationships take work all the time, getting to know that other person. And so that's super important that whoever you're sharing this with understands. This is the start of a relationship. So, you know, I've given you these tools, and I want to share with you a prayer that you could pray. It's on the notes that are in your program, but I want to share with you a prayer that you could pray with that person. Like I said, you don't have to get the words exactly right. You don't have to say it exactly how I wrote it. But this is just one way that you could pray with somebody if they say, yes, I'm ready to pray right now. I'm ready to have a relationship with God. And it doesn't have to be fancy or long or drawn out. Now, if you're here today, I'm going to pray this at the end of my message. If you're here today and you know, you've become a Christian, you said this prayer, and you're a part of the family of God, I want you to pray this prayer with me as a prayer asking God to help you be a wayfinder in someone else's life. ask God, yeah, I want to be a wayfinder. I want to be able to answer these questions when someone asks. I want to have an answer for the hope that I have. Help me do that. And you could even maybe pray for somebody you wrote on your Invest Invite card. Maybe there's someone on there that you know doesn't have a relationship with God yet. Pray and ask God to open the door for you to share with them. So I want you to do that with me as I pray this prayer in a little bit. Now, if you're here today and you're not a believer, but you felt compelled by what I've had to say today, I'd encourage you to pray that prayer along with me. And that's your opportunity to become a Christian and to join the family of God. But if you do pray that prayer with me, I don't want you to stop there. I want you to pull out that connection card, and on the bottom of your connection card, you can check, I'm interested in becoming a follower of Jesus. And what that does is that allows us here at Sycamore Creek to be a part of the party that happens in heaven when somebody becomes a Christian. We want to be a part of that party. We often say here at Sycamore Creek that we're stained glass on the outside, party on the inside. We like to party, don't we? So we want you to check that so that we can be a part of that celebration for you. Now, if you're here today and you're not a believer and you're feeling like, man, I'm just not sure I'm ready, that's okay too. We are also a group of people who believes that curiosity is good. So we encourage your questions. If you're here today and you're not so sure, I'd encourage you to ask somebody around you, like, well, why is it that you believe? Tell me more about your faith. We encourage questions here. Now, as I pray this, I pray that we here at Sycamore Creek would be a church filled with wayfinders. I pray that the people in these seats that follow Jesus would follow that nudging of God in our hearts when we sense that somebody is seeking spiritual guidance, that we would take that opportunity, grab it, and go for it, and share with people how to find their way to Jesus. I think that that can make such a huge difference in our community if we were a group of wayfinders that weren't hesitant, but we grabbed a hold of the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with others. And then when they did find that to be compelling, that we would throw a party for them here at Sycamore Creek, out in our communities, that we would be people who celebrated when somebody found their way to Jesus. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I want to confess that I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. I want to tell you that I believe in Jesus and what he did for me on the cross. I give you my life. I want to be your child today. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen.